obsessed.
And especially now that your prescription's worse than they've ever seen.
I literally could not believe that, because when I went to get like this set done, they were like, oh, we actually like can't fix it anymore, so you're just always going to be a little bit blurry. And I'd like come to terms with that. I was like, this is just my world now. And then I go in and I tell the optometrist that, and she's like, have you had any blurriness or anything? I'm like, oh, they told me that would always be there. And she's like, what? And she was like, no, we can improve this. And she's like, okay, so she did like all the testing stuff. And then she was like, okay, so just for reference, she's like, this is your old prescription that you've got now. And it was like a little bit blurry, but like not too bad. And I'm like, okay, yeah. And she's like, this is what we're going to give you. And she flips it and I'm just like, everything's so clear. And it's like not blur at all. And I can read things.
Isn't it like way worse to sit with blurry vision? Doesn't that make your eyes even worse?
Yeah, it's really bad. But they were just like, we literally can't improve it anymore. And she was like, who told you this? I was like, and she's like, no, we can improve it. And I went to this. So I was like legit shocked. And then now it's like, oh, I'm going to see you soon. And I've gone for like a completely different style as well.
Ooh, that's exciting.
Yeah.
But I'm going to do a glasses reveal on the Instagram.
Oh yeah. I'll be like, this is a new me, guys. I can see in everything.
So I've already written everything down.
Okay.
I'm Ash.
I'm Laura.
So before we start, I have something for you.
Okay.
I did not make this.
Okay.
Just to be clear, but I did get somebody to make it. So close your eyes.
Okay. Eyes closed.
Okay. Open your eyes.
It's a bag.
It's a big bag.
It's a big bag. Okay.
Be careful with the big bag.
Okay. Are you kidding? Oh, I'm gonna cry.
Isn't it cute?
It's so cute. There's little sunflowers on it.
That's why I was asking about the favorite flowers. So, for reference, I have given Laura a hand drawn picture of socks.
Yeah.
And I spent, was it Friday? I think, yeah. I was texting and I had to. So I had to try and figure out what kind of flowers to put on it.
Yeah.
But I had to do it in a sneaky way.
That was so sneaky.
So I like kind of spam messaged like I was manic to try and throw off suspicion.
Yeah.
Asking about favorite flowers. But the favorite flowers she picked were dahlias. And I was like, I don't want to put them on the picture. I don't want to ask. So Victoria drew it.
Oh, that makes sense. She does really good work.
Yeah. And I was like, I don't want to ask Victoria to put dahlias on it. So I was like, what do you think about sunflowers?
It's so perfect for him, though. Like, he was a little sunflower.
You know what? The problem is, though, you put so many filters on your fucking photos. I had to send Victoria, like, 10 photos, and we had to guess the appropriate color of his fur because you put so many filters on your pictures.
No, I'm sure. Actually, you know what? Some with him, like, it wasn't even filters. It was just I take them in Snapchat and I upload them to that.
So they go kind of grainy?
Yeah. And then I'm like, no, like more people need to see him. So then I upload them to Instagram as well. And it's like double filtering through. And I'm just like, oh my God.
Yeah. So we sat there for like a little bit of time and she's like, is he more orange or brown? And I was like, I can't tell.
No, she absolutely, you both absolutely nailed it. Like it's exactly like him. Even his little expression is like exactly the
same.
Yeah.
And his fat rolls.
Yeah, his little rolls.
Tana's like, did he have a mane? And I was like, no, just chunky.
It was actually funny because in this picture, I remember it. It was when, so he just started getting a bit ill and he lost weight, but he ended up getting like this he's still mane. It was so good. Like, ugh.
So, I sent like, something like 15 pictures to Victoria. And I was like, I'm sorry.
Oh my God. It's perfect. Like, I have cried. So you did really well.
Yeah. And hold on. You can keep it in the bag, so because it's glass, so don't break it.
Knowing me, I think the bag is a good idea.
So when I went to Kmart, because like they do the printing and you get the things, I had to check out 4 different times because I kept forgetting things.
Oh.
So I was walking around with like the picture, and then I was like, "Fuck, I forgot the frame." And then I went back and got the frame. Then I was like, "Ah, shit, I need a bag." So then I went back and got the bag, and the lady's like, "Are you okay?" And I was like, "Shush."
It's like, it's got to be perfect.
Yeah. So there you go. So she has a lot of commissions. So I was like, I know it's been a while, but
no, I love it. I think if you had have given it to me earlier, I would be a mess right now.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what I was thinking as well. Yeah. I was like, it's probably a little bit better that it's taken a bit longer. So
yeah,
there you go.
Oh, thank you. I love it so much.
And I did actually record this as well on video. So the webcam's running.
You just like a sneak, like, okay, so first of all, you didn't tell me when you started recording, so my whole glasses story is on there.
Yes.
Now you haven't told me that you're also videoing me so that you can see me cry.
Yes. Well, Victoria's like, get a good picture, and I was like, I'm not gonna be able to make that sus. So I was like, so if I do it on the podcast, I get audio and then I can use that
get sneaky it on video.
Haha.
You got me this time. I feel like this is payback for my case last week.
Yes.
Well, not last week. It was like ages ago, but yeah. Oh, it's
it just released.
It counts. We're fine.
It was last. No. Yes.
Was it?
Yeah, because we're not one ahead anymore because we couldn't. Oh, it wasn't last week because we had lockdown. Yeah.
That's why I'm confused because I'm like, oh, yeah, I was here like last weekend. I'm like, no, I wasn't.
No, nobody was anywhere last weekend.
We were confined to the naughty corner.
AKA Laura's home.
Yes. Oh gosh, I'm like,
there you go.
So beautiful. I have like it's,
oh, and I also, so because you posted on the 29th on your Instagram,
yeah,
but I wasn't sure if that 100% was the date. So I had to message Danny.
Oh,
I messaged him on Instagram to get him to confirm it. I was like, this is what I'm doing. I'm going to surprise her. Don't say anything, but I need to know 100% because if I fuck up the date, then the whole thing.
Yeah.
And he's like, okay, I'll dig for you. And I was like, thank you. So kind of everyone was in on it.
Oh, Danny, you sneaky fucker. It was actually, I saw him Thursday.
I think I messaged him on Friday. Yeah.
Okay. Because I was like, did he know then? And he's just not told me. Because we talked for like 3 hours that day.
No, I think I waited until like the last minute, just in case he was terrible at keeping secrets.
No, I don't know. This is the thing. I think he's a good secret keeper because I don't know if he's keeping secrets from me. So I think that makes him a good one. But thank you, everybody. So like you, Victoria, and Danny, like thank you guys. So, I cry a lot.
And if you need help hanging it up in your house, I'll help you because I don't want you to break anything.
Oh, yeah, I think that's a good idea. Actually, because at the moment, like, I haven't decided what to do with everything because I packed, like, all of his little things that I'm keeping in a nice little box. And then I have his, it's pretty upsetting, but it's like I have his ashes as well, which I think I want to scatter somewhere. But the problem is, like, with him, he doesn't have, like, a favorite spot.
It was the couch.
Well, it was the couch, but it's also just, like, literally wherever I was. So, like, even if I took him to the park or something, he was just like, I'm just happy to be with you.
A lot of people just keep it in boxes. Well, and, like, get something engraved on it or something.
Well, it's, like, it's in, like, a nice little box. And it came with, like, a little candle, which was cute. And I got a print done of his paw print, which cute. I'm going to get tattooed. Yeah. So I'm pretty excited about that. But, like, in a really sad way.
Yeah.
But that's on hold for a bit because I'm, like, I don't want to be at the tattoo artist just, like, sobbing the whole time.
Yeah, true.
So I'm, like, let's just put a pin in that. But I have, like, everything, like, packed out really nicely and it's just, like, in this spot. And I'm just, like, it needs to be something special, like, where...
Well, now you can hang that up on the wall and then have the ashes and the candle or whatever underneath it.
Yeah. I'm going to have to get this sorted because I want to...
You need a mantle.
I do need a mantle.
Every house needs a mantle.
I think I'm going to put a mantle like in the office because that's where it is at the moment, but it's sitting on my desk, which I'm like, you can't just sit on the desk. But it was either in my apartment because it's like half furnished. It's either the desk or like in a cupboard. And I'm like, fuck putting him in a cupboard. Like, that's not happening.
You should get one of those nice hanging shelf things from Kmart.
That's what I'm thinking. I can like put it up and then just have everything like nicely displayed. I think that would be really nice.
Yeah. Kmart has some good shelves and shit now.
That's why we love Kmart.
Oh my god. I was so tempted to buy. I was tempted to buy like a corner shelf thing for that corner in there.
Yeah.
But I kind of like it empty.
Yeah.
I think because it took me so long to get those fucking lights to sit like that.
I was about to say, I really like the lights like that. So I don't want
I don't want you to not have space over there as well. Like, because I've got quite a bit of space because the door's behind me.
Yeah. It's quite roomy over here.
Yeah. Oh, so I did spend my gift card, finally.
Yes, this is the gift card saga from last week.
I bought it. Jesus. I bought a coffee machine and a coffee grinder to be fancy.
Yeah.
And then I realized that it's kind of a very wasteful process.
Why?
Well, it's a lot of like, I just feel like we're going to go through the beans really quickly. But also there's potential for us to have 12... 12 cups in quotation. It's more like five or six, because we've got big mugs.
Okay.
And we sip them slowly, worth of coffee. And it's just, it's a lot of coffee, which is great.
Yeah.
But we'd like fill it up twice a day.
Oh my God. I think that's the problem. Like, when you only have like shitty instant coffee at home, you don't want to drink a lot of it. So it's like, you're like, oh, I'm like.
Well, we still drank a lot of it anyway, but I think it was just a little bit easier.
Mm.
Like, you can't just, with the kettle, you just flick it on, instant coffee, sweetener, milk, you're good to go.
Yeah.
You know? Whereas this, it's, you fill it up to whatever you want. We grind the beans,
mm-hmm.
then you pour the beans, let it go. But then when you're done, you have to empty out the filter. And then next time you got to grind the beans and do that again. And now that I'm saying it, it doesn't seem like a lot. And no. This is a really shitty, I'm just going to stop talking because I sound like a dickhead.
I think it's like, it's labor intensive and I don't think you like that.
It's not that it's labor intensive. I think because it's more steps, I feel like I'm wasting more coffee. Because instant coffee, you don't throw out the coffee, it dissolves.
Oh,
but because
right.
I'm throwing out the bit, and like they're used, it's fine. But also I feel bad.
You know what you need to start doing?
What?
Make coffee scrubs.
Holy shit, you're a genius.
I know.
Can I sell that? I don't
yes.
know.
Yes. Okay, I'm not going to say that because we'll get sued. Yes, we can make our own. We'll make spooky coffee scrubs. I don't know what's going to be spooky about them, but we'll do it.
It's got a ghost on the label.
Don't steal our idea.
I mean, there's probably already one out there. We're probably stealing it from somebody else and don't even realize.
100%. Yeah, we'll make coffee scrubs and all sorts of other things we can make. But
okay, we'll shop that.
Yeah.
Nobody hold us to any of this.
Okay. Oh, I just realized I didn't turn my phone off.
Naughty corner.
Well, I got ambushed with beautiful things, so
you did.
It's not
yes.
my fault.
I got ambushed with beautiful things. It's not my fault. Fair enough.
It's true. All right, phone is off. We're fine.
Okay. I mean, did you get up to anything this week?
Yes, but I've talked about most of it because we talked about lockdown, which was 5 days.
Yeah, we had a snap circuit breaker lockdown.
Mm-hmm.
And sort of nothing else really happened.
Yeah, but before that I had my eye appointment, which I've already talked about. And then, after that I got a new tattoo.
Yes.
Which was literally Thursday.
And it matches our tablecloth.
It does. Because all of my tattoos are like black and outline.
Yeah.
And the tablecloth is black with drawings on it.
Yeah. But it's a crystal ball. On our tablecloth we have planchettes, cats with third eyes, I don't know what the palms are called. It's like palms with, actually, now that I look at it, it's a bunch of symbols, but also the star signs on the fingers.
Yeah, they're the zodiac symbols. And then you've got like the female symbol, the male symbol, you've got moon.
And just some other weird shit.
Yep. But then there's also.
Yeah, then there's a crystal ball with a skull in it. And Laura's newest tattoo is a crystal ball with a moon and clouds.
Yep.
Which is cool.
Pretty cool.
Yes.
I feel like we'll need to post a photo of that because
yeah.
We did all right at describing, but yeah. Oh, there's moons on the tablecloth too.
Yes, and stars.
Yes.
Anyway, so my story today. So Laura and I did this thing. Just as soon as Laura walked into my house today, she goes, "I finished my story 10 minutes ago."
Which was true.
Which is fair.
Yeah.
Also, I did that thing where I didn't edit the episode until it was meant to release.
I knew you did that.
Yeah.
What were we messaging about?
We were meant to record on Friday, so we would be one ahead because we couldn't record during lockdown.
Yeah.
And I was like, I'm reorganizing my life. I've just got, like, I was just trying to, because I streamed on Thursday, so I'm going to be streaming just variety games and stuff on Thursdays. My Twitch schedule says Thursdays and Saturdays. That's if I can be bothered.
Yeah.
But there's no button for a disclaimer.
Show up?
Which is something I wanted to do. And I was like, if I want to stream, then I have to edit Friday night.
Mm-hmm.
So I can't record Friday night because I was trying to space things out. And then Friday night happened. And I don't know what I was doing, but I was not editing. Oh, that's right. Tanner and I were talking about Atlantis, the Lost Empire.
Oh, yeah.
From 2001. Because I love it, like, so much. It's one of my favorite. It's one of my favorite Disney movies. I think it might be my favorite Disney movie.
I feel like I've seen it once and it scared me. And I don't know why.
I have no idea why it scared you either. But I love it. And I made a reference to something and then Tanner and I were like, okay, well, let's watch it. So it took us ages to figure it out, how to get it onto the big TV. Didn't work. Ended up watching it on the laptop in the lounge room because Disney Plus is a piece of shit.
Fun.
And so I didn't end up editing. So Tanner went to work at 6 a.m. Saturday morning. I woke up at about 6:30, started editing.
Yep.
Had it rendered, uploaded, ready to go at 8:45 when I had to take Milo to the crib. And I was like, I got time, but I'm very proud of myself that I did that.
That's a good effort. To be honest, I'm just impressed that you were watching a movie that wasn't Divergent or Maze Runner.
I haven't watched any of them for like 2 weeks. I think after the Sunday we recorded that, so two weeks ago.
Yeah.
Not last Sunday, the Sunday before. I hadn't watched any of them. Although last night we did watch Scott Pilgrim.
Okay.
Which is not teen dystopian, and also I forgot how ridiculous that movie is.
Oh my God, I just always remember the vegans with superpowers.
Yeah. But yeah, so I cut it quite close again.
Yeah.
That's fine. Don't worry about it.
I think you just like living like down on as close to the line as possible.
I think it's after work. I'm too tired to be bothered to do anything.
Yeah.
So I just don't. And like it doesn't really take me that long, especially when I've already started the editing, so I know the sound's good. Like I'm not worried about the file being fucked or something like that.
Yeah. So we're in quite a good like rhythm now. Like,
yeah,
we've been doing this for a little while.
Yeah, we've been doing it for over 5 months. Four months.
That's a long time.
This is episode 21. What's that?
It's like 5 months.
Yeah, it's just over five months.
Jesus.
Yeah.
Well, there you go.
You'd think we'd have some idea. We don't.
We don't know.
So, I'm going first, right?
Yeah.
Oh, the reason I started telling that story is because Laura finished hers 10 minutes before she got here. I finished mine maybe an hour and a half before Laura got here. And you started yours yesterday?
I tried to start it yesterday.
Right. I started mine. So, I picked what I was going to talk about yesterday.
Okay.
Then I was like, I'll research it properly tomorrow. Shut up.
Yep.
And as I was researching it, I was like, I'm not feeling this. So I changed my mind.
I have been there.
So at about 10 o'clock, I was like, I want to do something that, like, I already knew quite a lot about but hadn't, like, officially properly researched it kind of thing, if that makes sense.
Yep.
Like, so, I'm doing the Black Dahlia.
I love this case.
Yeah.
I love how it pops up in, like, so many movies and shows and everyone has their take on it. And
yep.
I'm excited.
So, born in 1924, Elizabeth Short is the middle child of five sisters. They raised mostly in Medford, Massachusetts. Elizabeth's father, Cleo, is a designer for miniature golf courses. And the family's reasonably well off, which, what a fucking job.
Amazing.
Right?
That's like the goal, like come up with something just really simple and just make a killing off it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. In 1929, when the stock market crashes, Cleo Short loses most of the family's savings as well as his job.
Uh-oh.
In 1930, when Elizabeth is just 6 years old, her father's car is found abandoned on the Charleston Bridge.
Uh-oh.
A common place for suicidal people to jump to their deaths. Mm-hmm. With the main supporter now dead, the girl's mother, Phoebe Short, moves them to a small apartment and works as a bookkeeper to support them.
Okay.
So it's mum and five daughters.
Good work, mum.
Yeah. When Elizabeth is 15, she undergoes lung surgery due to severe bronchitis and asthma. Doctors suggest she relocate to a warmer climate during winter to prevent complications with her breathing, which, that sounds like a really cool remedy.
Hell yeah. Imagine being told
every winter go on a summer holiday. Like,
yeah, like, sorry, you're just gonna have to go somewhere like tropical and beachy. Like,
yeah, I'd get some that. Sand in those lungs, fix it right up. It then became commonplace for Elizabeth to spend winters in Miami with family friends.
Okay.
1942, Phoebe and the girl's mother receive a letter. It's from their father, Cleo. Cleo was in fact alive, completely fine, and living in California.
Fuck you, Cleo.
Fuck you, Cleo.
It's actually really funny because my sister has a German Shepherd called Cleo, and she's like a beautiful little baby, so.
Fuck you, Cleo.
No!
Wait, not that Cleo.
The bad one. Yeah. Not the doggy Cleo.
Good pup. Good pup. So shortly after receiving this letter, Elizabeth elects to move to, I think it's Vallejo, and live with her dad, who she hasn't seen since she was six.
Why'd she want to go there?
Well, I don't know. I mean, it's probably...
She's probably a
kid.
She's
18.
Oh, okay.
So it's California. It's new. It's different. And she probably only has, like, good memories of her dad. So, I mean, being six...
Yeah.
You don't really know if the mother actually ever told them that he'd killed himself or that he died. Like, you know, there's all sorts of different things. And she probably wants to know her dad.
Yeah, she's probably like, I'm going to go meet my dad. Lol.
Yeah. So... The pair argue significantly while living together, and less than a year later, Elizabeth moves out. She begins working at a nearby Air Force base and is living with some friends. She meets an Air Force sergeant whom she begins to date, but very quickly the relationship breaks down after the sergeant is reportedly violent with her.
Oof.
A few months later, after relocating to Santa Barbara, Elizabeth is arrested for underage drinking at a local bar.
Uh-oh.
So she's 18, 19.
Yeah, that's...
Which is weird to me still.
Yeah. Yeah, by like 17, 18, you're like well into bars and they just don't care.
Yeah. Like, anyway. Authorities send her back to her mother in Massachusetts, but she moves to Florida almost instantly. She's not staying there.
No, she's like, yeet.
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly what happened. During her time in Florida, she meets another Air Force officer. He's deployed for World War II, and during a recovery period where he'd suffered injuries from a plane crash, he supposedly writes to propose to her. Elizabeth accepts, but 1 week before the war ends, her fiancé is killed in another crash.
Oh, that hurts my soul.
I know. Isn't that so sad? July 1946, Elizabeth moves to LA, where she has friends from Florida. She works as a waitress and lives behind a nightclub on Hollywood Boulevard.
Damn.
Fancy, right?
Fancy.
Definitely fun.
Oh, yeah.
January 9th, 1947, Elizabeth Short returns home from a trip to San Diego. Her traveling companion is Robert Manley, a 25-year-old salesman she's dating. But Robert is also married.
Oh. Don't do it.
Manley drops Elizabeth off at the Biltmore Hotel, where she is meant to be meeting her sister, who's coming to visit. Some staff at the Biltmore see Elizabeth using the lobby phone, and then later she is spotted at the Crown Grill Cocktail Lounge, just a short walk from the Biltmore. Elizabeth Short would not be seen for another 6 days.
Uh-oh.
The morning of January 15th, 1947, Betty Berzinger is pushing her three-year-old daughter along in her stroller at the, I think it's Le Mer? That's if I put a French spin on it. I think Americans would probably call it Le Mert.
Okay.
But it looks like a French word. So I'm going to call it Le Mer Park.
We'll go with it.
Fight me about it. it's an area of LA, a suburb mostly unpopulated. It was kind of like a newer expansion.
Okay.
So that it was like a development area.
Right.
As they approach a vacant lot, Betty sees what she believes is a mannequin.
That's how it always starts.
That's never meant. What? When have you ever actually seen a mannequin in the wild? Why did I say in the wild?
In the wild.
You know what I mean.
I feel like I have seen, like, mannequin parts.
Have you actually? Or have you seen it in films?
No, I think I did once, but we were like, no, 100% that's been put there by school kids to freak people out. Because, like, we obviously were like, oh my God, like, what if it's an arm? It was like a mannequin arm. But it was, like, behind the high school or something. And right. And 100%
someone's carrying it. I've never seen mannequin parts or whole outside of a department store.
Outside of a department store, no. Like, in the forest, yes. But... Jeez, this is sounding shady. No, so, like, at my high school, we were really close to, like, lots of parks and stuff. And there, like, in the area, there were all of these, like, weird wilderness
places. Were you a bush child?
I grew up in, like, the Yarra Valley.
So, yes.
Yeah. So, like, for fun, like, for some reason in high school, your friends would be like, oh, I know this, like, abandoned property. Let's just, like, go there. And we'd be like, okay.
Kids in my high school did meth.
My ex did meth. Let's not unpack that. That's hilarious. But,
I know somebody who did meth accidentally once.
How do you accidentally do meth?
We were on a night out and they went out to, we were out in a club and then something happened. I was with so there's four of us, two guys, two girls. It was me and the other girl and we were in a club dancing. I think we'd moved. We lost the boys. The boys had met somebody outside, presumably in a line or something.
Yeah.
And for some reason, they were like, yeah, we'll come home with you.
What? Oh, it's male privilege right there.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. I think it was a bunch of other dudes. I don't fucking know. Anyway, they were at this house and then they go to smoke a pipe. They think it's a bong.
Uh-oh.
And they smoke the weed. They smoke the, in quotation marks, weed. And then the next day, they kind of like rock up when me and the other girl are having breakfast. And they're like, we don't think we smoked weed with people last night. And we were like, oh my God, what? And they were like, now that we think about it, it wasn't weed. I was like, I don't want to hear any more of this. I don't know, you fucking idiots. Goodbye.
Like, couldn't they have just, like, smelt it and be like, that doesn't smell like weed?
I don't know why you're trying to apply logic to this.
Yeah, good point. All right, moving on.
Nothing of that story makes any logical sense. Anyway.
Wow.
So, fuck, that was it. So Betty believes this is a mannequin, but what she's actually... She looks closer. Betty discovers she's looking at the deceased and mutilated corpse of a young woman.
Mm.
Sorry.
Oh, boy.
As police arrive, they notice the scene is impeccably clean.
Mm-hmm.
There's no blood around or inside the body. She's been washed in gasoline, giving her a stark white colouring. So she's totally drained of blood.
That's spooky.
Yeah. Which also, why... I don't know why, but I've never thought that gasoline is something you can wash... something in.
Isn't gasoline like oily?
It's well, yeah,
that's odd,
but like in my head I'm like, that's something you wash off.
Yeah, well, I feel like that's how normal people think.
Yeah. Anyway, it works pretty well at destroying evidence, apparently.
Oh boy.
She's completely bisected at the waist.
Oof.
So she's misaligned and spaced apart about a foot for maximum shock to whoever finds her.
Yeah, that's effective.
Yeah. She was posed with her legs apart and her arms up above her head at right angles. Her internal organs contained fecal matter, alluding that she had been... Yeah, like, you know when you lie in bed and you put your head under your arms?
Oh,
kind
right.
of like that, but if your hands are, like, maybe a couple inches above your head.
Like a ballet dancer, kind of. Not as high, but, like, kind of there.
Yeah, kind of. Okay. Imagine you're putting a crown on your head. Like that.
Okay, gotcha.
I sleep like that sometimes, I think.
Yeah, it's kind of comfy.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry. So her internal organs contained fecal matter, alluding that she had been forced to eat it before being killed.
Oh.
And they had... the organs had been removed and placed underneath her lower half. So, like, her stomach and stuff like that were under her butt.
Right.
Not where they should be.
That's fucked up.
Yep.
Just leave things where they're supposed to be.
Maybe don't kill people.
Okay, let's go with that.
So areas of flesh had been cut from her thighs and breasts, and there were additional lacerations. I'm having a stroke.
Lacerations.
And there were additional lacerations is what keeps happening to me. There were additional lacerations to her thighs, leg, stomach, and chest. She had also been given what is called a Glasgow smile.
No.
Mm-mm. Correct. meaning the corners of her mouth had been slit through her cheeks nearly to her ears, so kind of Joker style. Mm. The only things found around her were partial heel print and an empty sack that would have contained cement. There was some watery blood inside the sack, leading detectives to believe this is how she was transported.
Oh, I'm picturing like a Ziploc bag.
I
don't know. Okay, so it's like a big bag.
Yeah, an empty sack. How did you get a Ziploc bag? Okay,
I don't.
That's fine. during autopsy, they find ligature marks on her ankles, wrist, and neck. They find the bisection was performed as a technique called, bear with me, a hemicorporectomy.
Yeah.
Hemicorporectomy. A procedure where the surgery transects the lower spine. This removes the legs, the genitalia, urinary system, pelvic bones, anus, and rectum. When performed by professionals, you can survive this surgery. And the most recently documented instance was in September 2019.
What circumstances are they performing this under?
A 19-year-old construction worker in the US also lost his right arm and lower half after he was pinned and partially crushed by his 4-ton forklift after a bridge crumbled under the weight of the vehicle.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
Okay, but see, like, that's a catastrophic injury. Like,
yeah,
that's basically
that's
done
the
that.
Only reason something like that would happen.
Wow.
When it's when so they looked at his x-rays and his pelvis was kind of like sherbet. It was powder. Like, there was no way that you could reconstruct it.
Yeah.
Same with all of the bones in his legs. Like, it's a 4-ton forklift.
Yeah.
You know. And so, yeah, he lost his right arm from the elbow down.
Mm-hmm.
And then from just under his belly button.
Okay.
Everything.
Wow.
Yeah.
I mean, okay, from a medical point, that's amazing. Because yeah. you've got, like, key arteries and stuff running through there and, like...
Well, I mean, you don't need the arteries when they don't lead to anything.
Well, true.
Yeah.
But I mean, like, if they're crushed, like, you would have massive bleeding. So it's, like, yeah. amazing he's even alive.
Yeah. And it was an elective surgery, too. So he was awake enough to decide that that's what he wanted to do. It was basically, if he didn't do it, he would have died.
Yeah.
But
I feel like that's the only circumstance you'd be like, yeah, cut
it's
the bottom half off.
It's just crazy to think that technically nothing below that point is necessary for life. Like, they have the, what are they called? Ostomy bags? Colostomy bags? Something?
Yep. Well, it depends which one you get. Because there's, like, an ileostomy bag and then there's a colostomy bag. And
right. But either way, you don't really need the exit points.
No, you don't.
For lack of a better term.
Yeah, I mean, you could argue, like, the sex point, but it's like, you can do other things.
Yeah, but also, it's not necessary for your survival.
No, like, legs are...
Everything is from the lumbar joint up. Mm. You're good.
Yeah. Legs are a luxury, like.
Oh, it's true, but like.
Yeah, I know. No, that's, medicine is amazing.
I know, it's yeah. insane. So except that's the most recent one. And I think there's been only like 65, something like that, documented cases last time they checked in, like 2009 plus this new one.
Let's keep that number low.
Yeah.
Because I don't want to see more of this case.
No, definitely not. So in this case, the bisection, I mean, I want to say thankfully, but also it's not thankfully, it was performed post-mortem.
Okay.
And that was indicated by lack of bruising along the incision lines.
Mm-hmm.
Her skull is not fractured, but there is significant bruising along her scalp and bleeding in her subcranoid space.
Mm-mm.
That's a fancy word.
Yep.
Unfortunately, not all of the mutilations were performed after death. Her cause of death is determined to be hemorrhaging and shock from the lacerations to her face.
Oof.
So that was done while she was alive, and that's what caused her to die. The Glasgow smile.
Oh, yeah. Okay, see, I was thinking of the little ones that they were talking about, like the, yeah, that'd do it.
No, the big one to her face is what killed her.
That's horrible.
Yeah. They also test for sperm and do a rape kit to see if she'd been raped, but it came back negative.
Okay, good.
So there wasn't... at least any trace of a sexual motive.
Which, I mean, she was cleaned in gasoline, so.
Yeah. But, I mean, how thorough can that be?
I mean, he literally cut her in half.
Yeah.
But, let's see, you don't know if he did things just not to her.
Yeah. Yeah.
Let's not go into that.
So, after fingerprints had been received back from the FBI, detectives now had the name that Elizabeth Short to go with their victim. So thankfully her fingerprints were on file from a Defence Force job she applied for, but also for her underage drinking arrest.
Okay.
And that's the one that came back first. So it's kind of good that she got arrested for that. Otherwise they might not have been able to identify her properly.
That's true.
Because they used the fingerprints from the arrest to confirm with the job application, but the job application one was kind of a secondary one.
Yeah.
The fact that she was arrested is the reason they identified her.
So basically what you're saying is everyone...
get arrested.
Yeah, go out and commit it. Don't do something bad, just like everyone do a misdemeanor or yeah. something. Enough to get fingerprinted, but not enough to be like...
just everybody get locked in a drunk tank for a night.
All right.
Just public intoxication. That's all you need.
There you go.
As long as you don't harass anybody.
Yeah. Don't weird anybody out. Don't do
jaywalk.
Anything to somebody.
That's a good one.
Jaywalking is a good one.
Actually, I think you just get fined for jaywalking. Don't do that.
Could you like shoplift something stupid, like a paperclip or something?
You know, when I was little...
what did you do?
I didn't realize I did it. And yep. then I felt so guilty. But then I also stopped caring like after 5 minutes.
Right.
I was probably like 8. And I really wanted this packet of Tic Tacs.
Yep.
And I was walking around. I was like, Mom, I want this. I want this. Because she said I could pick something.
Mm-hmm.
But for some reason, Tic Tacs were not the thing that I should have picked. I don't know what her theory was behind that.
Okay.
And she said no to the Tic Tacs. She was like, pick something else. And I was like, but I want orange Tic Tacs. They're mints. What do you want from me?
They're so good.
Yeah. And then when she wouldn't let me get them, I was like, fine, I don't want anything else. And she was like, okay. So I put them in my pocket with the intention of putting them back.
Yeah.
Forgot I did that. And then when I got in the car, I heard the rustle and I was like, oh, I stole the Tic Tacs. And I told my mom and she went, shut up. And I went, okay.
Just not gonna actually I did something similar. I was like a little as well, I think maybe like 7 or something, and I was in a shop and I think I'd looked at something. I can't even remember what it was, but I looked at something and I still had it in my hand, and I think I went to show like my mom or something, and I went to put it back but never actually did. So I walked out of the shop, it was still in my hand, and then I'm like, oh shit. But I like walked and gave it back, and I was like still getting like, because I have anxiety, like I was guilt ridden for years. But
oh
yeah, but I gave it back, so
that's good.
Thank you.
So now the police have the name of their victim is Elizabeth Short. The moment she's identified, reporters from the Los Angeles Examiner have the details somehow,
mm-hmm.
and they contact her mother.
Ooh.
Her mother, who has no idea her daughter is dead.
Did they tell her everything?
Under the guise of Elizabeth winning a beauty contest, reporters pry as much information from Phoebe Short as they possibly can before they then reveal the truth to her of her daughter's condition and all the details that come with her death. They told her everything.
That is so monstrous.
They also offered to pay for her flight and accommodation to come and help the police in LA.
Mm-hmm.
But when she arrived, they kept her away from other press and away from the police in order to not lose their scoop.
That's so fucked up.
It's so fucked.
So I was like, oh, they're paying for her flights and stuff. Like, that's a bit redeeming, but no.
No.
Of course not.
It was all selfish reasons.
Ugh.
The media eventually nicknames Elizabeth as the Black Dahlia and describe her as an adventuress who prowled Hollywood Boulevard. Other newspapers deemed the murder a sex fiend slaying, and rumours of Elizabeth being a lesbian who had sex with men to hide her true identity, which ask any lesbian, they ain't gonna fucking do that, or that she was a sex worker, all of which are untrue and only hurt the case more as it began to sensationalise.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. January 21st, a man claiming to be the killer calls the editor of the Examiner and says that he would eventually turn himself in, but he wants to be chased first, and he would be sending some souvenirs of Beth's in the mail.
Mm-mm.
On the 24th, a package is intercepted, addressed to the Examiner, and addressed by individual letter cuttings from a newspaper.
That's so...
It makes me giggle.
I feel like that's like someone's Googled, like, how do I be a killer?
Somebody's watched too many movies.
Yes.
Yeah. A large message on the envelopes read, here is Dahlia's belongings, letters to follow. The package contains Elizabeth's birth certificate, some business cards, photographs, pieces of paper with names written on them, and an embossed address book with the name Mark Hansen on the cover. The package had been carefully cleaned with gasoline.
Ooh.
Mm. The same day that the packet is received, a handbag and a black shoe were reported to have been seen on top of a garbage can in an alley a short distance from where Elizabeth's body had been discovered.
Mm-hmm.
The items were recovered, but they had also been wiped clean with gasoline, destroying any fingerprints.
Gasoline.
They were confirmed to be Elizabeth's as well.
Okay. The package or the handbag?
The handbag and the shoe.
Okay.
The Mark Hansen, the guy whose name was on the address book, he owned the nightclub that she lived behind,
mm-hmm.
and he was able to confirm that that was her stuff.
Okay.
January 26th, a handwritten gasoline-wiped letter arrives, and it reads, here it is, turning in Wednesday, January 29th, 10 a.m. Had my fun at police, and it was signed, the Black Dahlia Avenger.
Oh, what?
Yeah. The letter includes a location. But when police sort of stake out the joint, they wait, nobody shows.
Okay.
Because who actually shows up to shit like that?
Yeah. They basically, like, just fuck with them. Just like, can I get them to all come
exactly.
out?
Exactly.
Yeah.
I think Zodiac did that as well.
Oh, yeah.
Multiple times.
I rewatched that movie, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not long after, they receive another note. This time made of letters cut and pasted from magazines.
Cute.
But the last one was handwritten. So I don't... okay.
We'll go with that.
It says, have changed my mind. You would not give me a square deal. Dahlia killing was justified. Again, it was wiped down with gasoline.
Mm-hmm.
There are no more matching letters. Hundreds of officers work the case and hundreds of leads are chased. A $10,000 reward, around $115,000 nowadays,
mm-hmm.
was posted for information by a city councilman, but nothing solid came from it.
Mm-hmm.
At the time, there were around 24 viable suspects for the murder. These included 2 police officers, 6 doctors, and 1 woman.
Wow.
Over the last 70 years, the case has gone cold, but remains open. There were more than 500 recorded confessions.
Oh my God.
Some of who were not even born at the time. Drives me nuts.
Oh my God. What's wrong with people?
Yeah. While some of the suspects have since been cleared, there are about 10 still viable by investigators, authors, and experts.
Okay.
Some of these 10 are from the original...
The original...
Yeah. Some of these 10 are from the original list and others are new.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to go through my top 5.
Oh, here we go.
So, what I've done is I've gone their names and why, like... I'll show you.
Okay.
So the first one is Walter Bailey, best suspect by way of personal connections.
Okay.
So Walter Bailey was a surgeon in LA who lived just 1 block away from the lot where Elizabeth was found until a year later when he left his wife. His daughter was the maid of honor at Elizabeth's sister's wedding.
Mm-hmm.
Bailey, in his age, developed a neurodegenerative condition known to produce violent behavior in usually passive individuals.
Mm-hmm.
FBI profiler John Douglas advised that the public dump site and the bisection could be due to the killer's inability to transport Elizabeth to a more remote location. Like an easier way of transporting her, essentially.
Yep.
Bailey was nearly 70 at the time of the murder and was weakening.
Okay.
When Bailey died in 1948, his widow alleged that his mistress knew a terrible secret about Bailey, and that was why she had gotten most of his estate. Douglas also advised the facial lacerations indicated personal anger towards the victim. Short would often, according to some of her friends, falsely tell men that she had a son who had died tragically.
Mm-hmm.
Bailey did, in fact, have a son who was struck by a car and killed at age 11.
Okay.
The deceased child's birthday was January 13th. Short's body was discovered on the 15th of January.
Okay.
So that's the first one.
I mean, there's some good points there, but did they actually prove that he knew her? Like, personally? Like, they had a connection?
Apparently, technically, they'd never met, but also that's not possible because they were all at the wedding.
Yeah, like, they might have been in proximity.
Yeah.
But whether they, like, had dated or had any...
There was no real...
Okay. There's definitely, like, opportunity.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yep.
Okay. Interesting.
So, Mark Hansen. So, this is the name on the cover.
Yep.
Best suspect by way of cover-up connections.
Mm-hmm.
So, Mark Hansen was the nightclub owner whose name was on the address book sent to the newspaper with Elizabeth's belongings.
Mm-hmm.
Elizabeth had lived with him and his girlfriend for a short time in 1946. Short called Hansen from San Diego on January 8th, making him one of the last people known to have spoken to her. His story about the phone call was very unclear and sometimes contradictory.
Okay.
There were reports that Hansen had tried to seduce Elizabeth, but she'd rejected him.
Mm.
Hansen was directly linked to 3 other suspects, all of whom were doctors. A Long Beach detective claimed they had known Hansen had spent some time at a Swedish medical school, and that Hansen had a close connection with some LAPD higher-ups that would attend his elaborate parties at his Hollywood home, and so it was possible that they would be there to help him with the cover-up.
Mm-hmm.
Hansen also owned a Ford Lincoln Mercury car lot on Hollywood Boulevard, and his LAPD friends, not long after the crime, were later found coincidentally driving around town in brand-new Lincolns.
Mm.
So that's Mark.
You know what? Like, I was thinking a lot about that one. I'm like, okay, there's a lot here, but then there's one glaring thing, which is why would he send his own address book with the police package?
It is totally possible that he could be doing it to throw them off. for that exact thought, is why would I send you a thing with my own name on it?
I mean, it's definitely, it's like the double-edged sword thing. Because it's like, well, on one hand,
is it a bluff or a double bluff or a triple bluff?
Exactly. Because it's like, at first thought, you'll be like, well, okay, maybe this is a red herring. But at the end of the day, like, his stuff is with a dead girl's stuff. Like, they're at least going to be in the same proximity.
Yeah. Mm. He did also pass multiple lie detector tests, but that could be part of the cover-up. And he was also the one to identify that the bag and shoe were definitely Elizabeth's.
Yeah.
So he was helpful. He wasn't ever, like... According to reports anyway, he wasn't ever, like, stalling or anything like that. The main thing that they were like, what did you talk to her about on January 8th, which was nearly a week and a bit after they started questioning him.
Yeah.
I don't always know what my fucking phone conversation's about, you know?
He's probably done
so many drugs. He probably doesn't have the best memory.
Plus, like, you know, how do you even know he's telling the truth?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
All right.
So, number three, George Hodel. Best suspect by way of circumstantial evidence.
Oh, here we go.
So, George Hodel was charged with molesting his 14-year-old daughter in 1949. Even with three eyewitness testimonies, he was acquitted. Hodel was a doctor who specialized in STDs and had many high-profile clients and was thought to be performing illegal abortions to the whim of the high rollers. He was placed under surveillance in 1950, where he made incriminating statements such as, supposing I did kill the Black Dahlia. They couldn't prove it now. They can't talk to my secretary anymore because she's dead. They thought there was something fishy. Anyway, now they may have figured it out, killed her. Maybe I did kill my secretary.
What?
So the secretary he's talking about is called Ruth Spaulding. She'd overdosed in 1945. So after Elizabeth was killed, Hodel was present when she died. He had burned some papers and then called the police.
Oh, I don't like this guy.
Also, he's a doctor.
Yeah, he's a...
That's you think like, he wouldn't know how to make her vomit up the pills?
100%.
Exactly.
Or at least been like, hey, you've had like eight of those. Maybe slow down.
Yeah.
You know?
Maybe slow down. It's not cocaine. You can't take all of it at once.
Yeah.
So Ruth, the case against Hodel for Ruth's death was dropped due to lack of evidence. It was all circumstantial. They didn't have anything solid that they could do. Mm. Hodel's son, Steve, who is a retired LAPD homicide detective, believes that Short may have been one of his father's patients. Steve had found two images in his father's belongings that resembled Elizabeth.
Mm-hmm.
One is found later on to be somebody else.
Okay.
And the other one, the family doesn't believe that it's Elizabeth, but he's pretty sure.
Okay.
Hodel's daughter, Steve's sister, Tamar, the one that was molested, is also friends with Janice Knowlton. Now, bear with me for a minute. Janice is an unstable and mentally ill woman who, among other unsubstantiated things, says that her father killed Elizabeth.
Mm-hmm.
So in my head, perhaps maybe she was taking information given to her by Tamar.
Okay.
I don't know. the biggest issue I have with this theory, I do love this theory because a lot of things line up.
Yeah.
But in 2009, Steve Hodel, the son, published a book in which he also claimed that his dad was a Zodiac.
Yeah, that's not great.
Bit of a stretch. So that's, if that last bit wasn't a thing, I'm like, oh, that's, there's a lot.
There's a lot. I mean, the only thing is, if you take out the sun completely, everything he said, Zodiac shit, like his testament, there's still a lot there.
Yeah. And George Hodel was one of the original ones as well.
Yeah. I think the big thing with him is that he has historical crimes.
Yes.
Oh, okay.
So next. Patrick S. O'Reilly, best suspect by way of previous actions.
Here we go.
Patrick O'Reilly knew Elizabeth through his friendship with nightclub owner Mark Hansen. So he was friends with Mark.
Christmas.
Yeah. O'Reilly had a history of sexual crimes and he had previously been convicted of assault with a deadly weapon for, and this is a direct quote, O'Reilly's a doctor, by the way.
Okay.
So that's the medical thing. So assault with a deadly weapon for taking his secretary to a motel and sadistically beating her almost to death, apparently for no other reason than to satisfy his sexual desires without intercourse.
Oh, I don't like this at all.
No. Uh-uh. O'Reilly had also had his right pectoral muscle removed, which was similar to mutilations found on Elizabeth.
Mm-hmm.
O'Reilly had once also been married to an LAPD captain's daughter. And it's not 100% confirmed, but it is kind of like around where he worked and stuff, they sort of knew that him and his assistant, when they were... They, like, dated for a little bit. I think it's a different assistant.
Okay.
They dated for a little bit. And they would go home and relax by watching autopsy videos.
Oh, that's never good.
And surgeries. Yeah.
I mean, like, we look at some pretty intense stuff, but it's, like, it's for a purpose. Like, we're researching a podcast or we're learning or something. We don't watch autopsies for fun.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't like that.
So, that's that one. And... This is my favorite one.
Okay.
So it's not really best in any way, but an unofficial suspect by way of weird coincidences is Orson Welles.
I really want to hear this.
Okay. So Orson Welles, if you don't know who Orson Welles is, he was considered one of the greatest filmmakers of all time. He's famous for many things that include directing and narrating the... War of the Worlds on the radio when that all went nuts.
Mm-hmm.
His first film ever was Citizen Kane.
Yep.
The Magnificent Ambersons, 1942. The Lady from Shanghai, 1947. Touch of Evil, 1958. The Trial, 1962. Chimes at Midnight, 1965. And F for Fake, 1973. So those are all like his major, major famous ones. Plus
yep.
a shit ton of stage, like just that man did fucking everything.
Yeah.
Anyway, so.
How's he linked to the Black Dahlia?
In Elizabeth's final letter home, she mentions to her sister she has met a movie director that is going to give her a screen test.
Mm-hmm.
In his youth, which was very turbulent, Orson Welles had lived in an apartment with his father and his father friend, Dr. Maurice Bernstein, a Chicago physician. Welles was, at the time, working on The Lady from Shanghai, one of the sets he required mannequins in a house of mirrors. The mannequins Welles made were supposedly virtually identical lacerations that were found on Elizabeth. So you can actually see pictures. One of the mannequins in one of the shots has a Glasgow smile.
Okay.
Those scenes were deleted from the film.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Welles was reported to have a rather volatile temperament on sets. Welles also applied for a passport the same day the package with documents was sent to the newspapers. Welles then spent the next 10 months in Europe and refused to come back to the States, even though he was directly in the middle of editing Macbeth, a film he was both directing and starring in. It's also stated that Welles was familiar with the location where Elizabeth was discovered because during the war, he would perform magic shows around there. So he was also a stage magician.
Yeah.
When I say this man is talented, he is talented. Mm-hmm. But... The main part of his act at the time was to saw a woman in half.
When you started talking, I was like, no way. And now I'm sitting here like,
isn't it great?
Hang on a bit.
I don't actually think he did it, but fuck, it's good.
Yeah, I mean, someone has sat there and done a deep dive on Orson Welles, and they'd be like, Black Dahlia, guys, here we go.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So 2 weeks after the murder of Elizabeth Short, Don Field, a Republican assemblyman, introduced a bill calling for the formation of a sex offenders registry. Yay. And California was the first state in the US to have a mandatory registration of all sex offenders.
Amazing.
Elizabeth is buried in Oakland, California, and to this day, her case is still open. And that is the story of the Black Dahlia.
Oh, it gets me every time I hear it. Like, I've watched multiple videos on this. All I think about is, like, American Horror Story. They did an episode on it.
Yeah, they've got two episodes based on her, technically.
Oh, what's the other one?
Can't remember. I actually have never watched American Horror Story.
Oh, you should.
Really?
Yeah, it's a good show.
Okay, I'll try it. One's something... Lost Girl, Silly Something... There's lots of S's in the title. And the other one's something about returning to a house of... mirrors. So I don't fucking know.
I remember one very clearly in the first season.
One's very obvious. The other one's more just like a callback reference.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm gonna have to rewatch
They're different seasons.
Yeah, I'm just thinking which... I haven't seen all the seasons, though.
I can tell you. Hold on.
Okay.
Ah, yes. So, she was in the episode Spooky Little Girl, and again in 2010, Return to Murder House.
Does it say which seasons they are?
Sixth episode of season 8 is Return to Murder House.
Oh, I haven't seen season 8.
And ninth episode of season 1 is Spooky Little Girl.
Yeah, I've definitely...
So she's in two episodes of American Horror Story, but there's a shit ton of movies and TV shows. I think there's a Criminal Minds episode.
Mm-hmm. Oh, lots of people cover it.
Yeah.
It's and for a good reason. Like, it's still unsolved, and it's been so many years, and there's a lot of...
I don't
of...
think they're ever going to figure it out, unfortunately.
I don't think so
either. It's just too early.
I think also, I saw a video somewhere where... like people again were like confessing to it, but it's like they look into it and they're like, no, but
oh,
it's
there's
been in books
so
and...
many so many confessions and so many people write books like I read a quote from a police officer who was like, you'd be surprised how many people throw their family, friends and relatives under the bus saying that they killed the Black Dahlia.
Oh yeah, hundreds of, oh, it's like what was that in?
I think there's one guy who... Hold on.
Well, it's like in the, with Ted Bundy, like when they were trying to catch him, like people were just like dobbing their boyfriends and stuff, being like, you know what, my boyfriend's been a bit shitty.
And good
lately.
Thing they did, that's how they caught him.
Well, yeah, like one of those was a really good call, but like a lot
only
of,
one of them was right.
Yeah. Yeah, but a lot of them were like, you know what, my boyfriend's been like a little off lately. I think he's like killing people. And it's like, I think your boyfriend's just a bit shit.
Yeah.
You know?
I think he's just an asshole.
Yeah.
There's one. Oh, yeah. So, Joseph, I think it's Dumais,
mm-hmm.
He was a 29-year-old soldier. He confessed to Short's murder a few weeks after it happened. He was cleared of any involvement in the crime, but he continued to claim that he killed her every single time he was arrested, like, for 10 years later. And he was arrested, like, he kept getting arrested for, like, lots of little dumb things, and every single time he would confess to Black Dahlia's murder. So they'd call it in, and then the task force working on it would be like, no, he's fine, let him go. Like, yeah. He's not our problem.
No, he's just an asshole.
Yeah. Also, that was really long. Sorry.
Yeah, so yeah, how long are we up to?
An hour.
Yeah, mine's really long too. I managed to write 8 pages.
Fuck.
Yeah.
Maybe we should split it.
Possibly.
All right, we might split it.
All right, let's do that.
Because damn, Daniel. We didn't... This is the first time where we didn't, like, ask the other one how long your story is.
You know what? I got, like...
I think it's because we both did it today.
I got about 3/4 of the way through because I hit a roll with this one and I was like, time you in. I'm like, I should message and ask how long her story is. No, it'll be fine.
To be fair, mine's not actually... that many pages.
It's just a really good case and we had a lot to say.
And also we got distracted quite a few times with meth and stuff.
Yeah, we do that.
So, all right, well, I mean, this means we don't have to record on Wednesday.
Yay.
So, I mean, because we're going to split this in half,
mm-hmm.
We will do, you do your recommendation station
okay.
at the end, mm-hmm. and then at the end of yours, which we will record directly after this,
yep.
I will do mine.
There we go.
Yes. So you get to hear my recommendations next week, but they're from now. fuck, I don't know.
It makes sense, guys. Just go with it.
Have you got anything to recommend, Lou?
Oh, okay. I watched a lot of movies during our lockdown.
Have you turned into me?
A little bit. Huh. Except it's not movies I'd seen before because...
That's boring.
Actually, I rewatched Paranormal Activity, which
I hate that movie.
I love it. It has like a little soft place in my heart because I watched it really little and it actually scared me. And I love it.
I studied it at uni. That's why I hate it.
Ruined. Yeah. All of my like media movies, some of the, like I still really like Cabaret. That's a really good movie. But the rest that I studied, I'm just like, I can't watch this again. But no, I really watched that. And then I got on like a scary movie thing, but I was like, let's watch ones that I haven't seen. Mm. I watched a really weird one called The Forgotten. It's on Stan if anyone wants to watch it. I would recommend that one if you want to watch a really weird movie. Because
cool.
It starts off, there's a woman whose son has died and she's like devastated about it, and it's like a year later or so. It starts off, yeah, her son is dead and she's grieving, but then people start telling her that she never had a son. And it's like, oh no, like you've never been a mum. You had a baby that died. And then I don't want to spoil it in case anyone watches it, but it just goes in a completely different direction. So that movie was really weird. I watched another one called triangle, which...
What?
Remember when we were talking about sexual shapes?
Sorry.
I think a triangle is the most sexual shape.
Definitely.
Yeah.
That's what I think of.
But no, it actually wasn't about sex. It was a scary movie. That was a bit of a brain bender, but it was pretty good. It has like a nice twist ending, and it's like a Groundhog Day type thing, but with murder.
Oh, okay.
That was pretty good. That was also on Stan. What else did I watch? Oh, I watched one called The Wretched or something like that.
Have you watched Nurse Ratched yet?
Yes.
Okay, good.
Thoughts? I didn't love it.
Really?
Yeah.
I think the story was a bit weird, but fuck, it's beautiful.
It's so fun to look
it's
at.
It's so good to look at.
I love the costumes. I love the styling.
I think if you like Wes Anderson, you'll like the look of it.
Yeah. I very much enjoyed watching it, but for me, they overshot it. Like, it was very over the top, and it was kind of just, it lost me, to be honest. I kind of got to the end of it, and I was like, yeah, I'm kind of glad that's over. But it was very fun to look at, that's for sure. And then now I'm going through Brooklyn Nine-Nine again, because the new season just dropped. But I was like, you know what, I better just rewatch it from season one.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I just watched the new season.
Oh, is it good?
Yeah.
Okay, good. That's all I want to know.
I do think some of the earlier ones are better.
Okay.
But I'm also the kind of person that I really like the Jake chasing Amy.
Yeah.
And like the flirty kind of stages.
Yeah. I think they're...
Have you started any of season 7?
No.
Okay, I won't tell you anything.
I know a couple of spoilers.
But they are, like, everybody knows that they are married now.
Yeah.
So it's like a little bit... It's still really cute, but it's a little bit different. And I just like the flirty stuff.
A lot of shows do that, where it's like the characters get together and it just kind of drops off a bit.
Yeah.
Like,
it's just because I'm attracted to Andy Samberg and I wish I was Amy.
He's such a babe. Like, honestly. Those people that
he's just so brilliant!
He is. Like, he's funny, he's intelligent, he's in everything, and he's just so hot. Like...
And he's got a great singing voice for Lonely Island.
I love those songs.
So stupid. Anyway, okay, so those movies. Is that everything?
Oh, there's probably more, but yeah, that's probably...
That'll do. So The Forgotten is a good one?
The Forgotten is very weird, but watch it if you want to watch a movie and be like, what the fuck was that? It has some good jump scares, though. I will give it that.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that was good.
Well, I'm going to put a recommend... Go watch Atlantis. Go watch Atlantis.
You don't have to watch Atlantis.
You do. It's great, and everybody should watch it because the whole thing's fabulous.
Okay.
And it has some of the best character acting ever.
I love her costume though. The little
Keita's.
Yeah, the little top. And
I've
skirt.
Asked Victoria whenever she probably will never do it because she is so busy now.
Yeah.
But originally, when she was trying to get work done for her portfolio. She was drawing her cat Alistair and her friend's pets in cosplay.
Oh my god.
And I asked for Milo as Keita.
I really
because it's also a play on the fact that Keita and Milo end up married.
Yeah.
So I thought that was funny. Because accidentally, do you know what happened?
What?
She did her friend's cat as Mulan. The cat's name is Little. The dog in Mulan is called Little Brother. Anyway, they didn't know that was a connection, but I just thought, anyway.
That's very cool.
Yeah.
Is that why you called Milo Milo?
No. I didn't name Milo. Tana did. She was brown when she was born. And I think he had a thing about Milo and Otis, but that's Otis is a dog, Milo's a cat. It doesn't matter.
I can tell that this is like an issue for you.
A little bit. anyway, thanks so much for listening. Go and follow on all the socials and things like that.
Yes, please.
If you want to see the video of Laura crying when she gets the picture of socks, I'll probably put it on the Instagram. And... I will also, we'll post a picture of the actual image.
Yeah.
And we'll put it, I'll link Victoria's things in there. So you can head to Victoria's website, which is just victoriazagari.com, which I think is in the episode show notes before from when she guested. And I think her commissions are open at the moment because she does some pretty cute work.
Yeah. When you see my beautiful portrait, you will see why you should go follow her and get something amazing.
Yes, definitely. So thank you so much for listening. I've been Ash.
I've been Laura.
Goodbye.
Stay tuned for part 2.
Oh, yeah. Is it part 2? It's just going to be another episode.
Well, it's part 2 of what was going to be one episode.
Yeah, fair. Okay. This is Dead Obsessed.